Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we got an extra special guest for you. We have Miss Sophia Stewart, the writer and creator of The Third Eye, which was stolen and turned into The Matrix and The Terminator. So if you want to holler at us, if you want to holler at Ms. Stewart, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 646-929-2037. And if you want to social network with us, smoothdrama.com is where it's at. You can social network with us also. Smooth Drama, look it up. You'll find me, and we can talk a taste on Facebook, Twitter, MeetMe, Wayne, you name it, I'm there. We can talk about it. But as always, I know y'all ain't really trying to holler at me. You really want to get at my illustrious co-host, the Queen of the Little People. So, Queen, tell them how they can catch you.
They can follow me on Twitter. That's at the number 100%. They can hit me up on email, miss100% at yahoo.com. Or they can try to get at me on Facebook, miss100% spelled out.
That's it?
That's easy. It's really that easy. There's no hook. There's no line. There's no sinker. That's just it.
All right. So did you get your letter in the mail?
No.
Oh, well, they were sending home fat letters in Massachusetts. I know you don't live in fat Massachusetts, but Massachusetts, they were sending home fat letters to students' parents telling them what they can do about their kid being obese and suggestions. Yeah.
So they decided to say, yeah, your child is it obese letters, or is it saying your child is obese, or is it just saying that your child may be a little overweight? Here's some suggestions.
Something like that.
Well, I mean, I don't see it as such a bad thing, depending on, you know.
Well, we are talking about kids now, so think about this for a second. We're talking about 10-year-olds. Who got a fat letter and who didn't get a fat letter? You think about that for a second. And as a 10-year-old, did you want to get that fat letter?
No, but it's not a big secret who's fat and who's not either.
Yeah, but you didn't have a letter because you know you're not going to live that down. Not in elementary. Probably going to follow you in middle school also.
But how do they know who got the letter? Maybe the child didn't bring it home. Maybe it was sent through the mail.
Come on. You know people are going to know because, like you said, people know who's fat and who's not. You know she got a fat letter.
Yeah. Well.
Kids are cruel like that.
Yeah, kids are cruel like that, and adults can encourage them to be that way. I mean, you know, the kids get their way of thinking and acting from their parents.
Right.
So.
And though it sounds like a good, I can't even say it sounds like a good idea, because the fact that you sending me a letter telling me my child is obese, and it's like, I my son, for example, was kind of a chunky kid, and I have a friend of mine whose son was a chunky kid.
Uh-huh.
You know, both these dudes weigh like 130 pounds now. Soaking wet. And the point is, it's one of them things like, yeah, I don't need your help, homie. You know, sometimes they hit that growth spurt and then bam.
Mm-hmm.
No child should be labeled that and have to go through that, because we already talked about it's hard enough as it is just being a regular person, and then you getting letters calling you fat and all that.
Right.
I can just mess you up. As a 10-year-old, really.
Yeah. I can see it that way. I can also see it another way, because there are a lot of people who don't really, you know, give their children the, you know, nutritious meals. And they are obese because the parents are not feeding them right. And the kids are, like, slowly dying. So, I mean, I can understand that, and I can understand a doctor, not a school, a doctor stepping up and saying, you know, here are some suggestions that can help you and your family out. But to send a letter home, I think that's just kind of overboard to do
something. Right. Well, that, in speaking of letters, there's a Northern Illinois man who put a noose around a black teenager's neck. He was sentenced to probation in order to write an essay on the history of lynching in the United States. He's also going to have to read this paper to the victim and other community members at an event known as a peace circle.
So, he committed a hate crime and got probation and told to write a research paper on lynching.
Yeah.
And he has to read it out loud in front of everybody, and that's his punishment.
Yeah, because supposedly he was charged with felony counts of committing a hate crime and unlawful restraint and battery, but under a deal with the prosecutors, he pleaded guilty to misdemeanor battery.
You know what? I'm so tired of this punk BS. Yeah, they pled guilty, so they should get a lesser sentence. I feel like when you plead guilty to something, it shouldn't say you shouldn't be allowed to get a lesser sentence. Yes, you admitted doing it, so therefore that means that we don't have to waste taxpayers' money by having a trial, because you admit it, now you get the same sentence that you would get even if you didn't admit it. How about that? I mean, because to me, that's – I'm sorry. What did you say?
For me?
I mean, that's – it's just crazy.
It's beyond crazy. I thought it was interesting.
Because remember, like, when you were little – I don't know if your parents tricked you like this, but my parents used to trick me. And they would say, if you tell me the truth, you won't get in trouble. But then when you tell the truth, you still get the hell beat out of you.
No, see, I already knew that one. I saw that one early on with my cousins. I was lucky enough to have older cousins who fell for it.
I had older brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest, and I still fell for it because they seemed so sincere. But it's like, depending on the severity of what you did, yeah, you still either got a punishment or you got your behind whooped. And I think that's what should happen to criminals as well. I mean, so would it be okay if I was to just go get a whole bunch of white people and hog tie them, and drag them down the street with wild horses? And then if I say, yes, I did it, I'm sorry, I'll write a paper, though, about it, and I'll participate in a peace roundtable. Do you think that I would get off? Hell no. They would probably execute me. Come on now.
So what are you trying to say?
There's no reason. There's no need to state the obvious.
Well, speaking of stating the obvious, Richard Land, who is our hater of the week and special helmet recipient, who's a so-called evangelical leader, says anti-gay advocates are being ostracized like the Ku Klux Klan. Because, you know, the Ku Klux Klan is getting a bad name.
He says, please read that statement again.
Yeah, he says, people who disagree with homosexuality are in danger of being ostracized like the Ku Klux Klan.
I can see what he's saying. I can understand. I can completely understand what he's saying. And I don't think it has anything to do with being a religious person or anything like that. He's basically saying that now, if you say that you don't agree with homosexuality, all of a sudden, you're just like the Ku Klux Klan. Now, you're a hate group, because that's what the Ku Klux Klan is, a hate group. I'm against a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that you should classify me or put me in a hate group because I don't agree with those things. But that is what's happening, because think about it. Remember, being gay was not really accepted, you know, but now it's like fat is the new gay. If you're fat, you are hated all over the world. But now being gay, it's like you're gay. Ooh, high five, right on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying whether I'm for or against being gay. That's your own personal choice, not mine. But at the same time, if you come out and you say that I'm against homosexuality in any way, shape, or form, they want to say that you belong in a hate group and you should be hanged and you should be burned at the stake. So I feel what he's saying.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go on break. Why you feeling? This is propaganda. Precious Puritan.
If you would allow me a second to deal with some in-house issues here. Hey, Pastor, you know it's hard for me when you quote Puritan. Oh, the precious Puritan. Have you not noticed our facial expressions? One of bewilderment and heartbreak, like not you too, Pastor. You know they were chaplains on slave ships, right? Would you quote Columbus to Cherokee? Would you quote Cortez to Aztec? Even if their theology was good, it just seems a blind privilege. Wouldn't you agree, your precious Puritan? They looked my onyx and bronze skin forefathers in their face. Their polytheistic, God-hating faith. Their shackles, disease, imprisoned face. And thought a gospel that said that God had multiple images in mind when he created us in it. Therefore, death and salvation contained the contentment in the stage for which they were given, which is to be owned by your forefathers. Superior image-bearing faith, says your precious Puritan. And my anger towards this teaching screams of an immature doctrine and a misunderstanding of the gospel. I should be content in this stage, right? Isn't that what Paul taught? According to your precious Puritan. Oh, you get it, but you don't get it. Oh, then we can go back to an America that once were founded on Christian values. They don't build preachers like they used to. Oh, the richness of their revelation. It must be nice to not have to consider race. It must be nice to have time to contemplate the stars. Pastor, your colorless rhetoric is a cop-out. You see my skin, and I see yours. And they are beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully, divinely designed, uniqueness. Shouldn't we celebrate that rather than act like it ain't there? I get it. Your Puritan got it. But how come the things the Holy Spirit showed them in the valley of vision didn't compel them to knock on their neighbor's door and say, you can't own people. Your precious Puritans were not perfect. You romanticized them as if they were inherent, as if the skeletons in their closet was parted due to their hard work and tobacco growth, as if abolitionists were not racist and just pro-union, as if God only spoke to white boys with epic beards. You know, Jesus didn't really look like them paintings. I was just Michelangelo's boyfriend. They don't get it. It's not one generation of believers that has figured out the marriage between proper doctrine.
get it, but I don't get it. Ask my wife. And it bothers me when you quote seriously, if I'm honest. For the same reason it bothers me when people quote me, they precious propaganda. So I guess it's true that God really does use crooked sticks to make straight lines, just like your precious comparison.
People, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. S the N-word. I'm Miss 100% Queen of the Little People. That was propaganda, precious Puritans. And in case you forgot, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Call in and talk to our guest for tonight, Miss Sophia Stewart.
We are getting on the line right now as we speak. We can talk to Matrix and Terminator and try to figure out how this all happened in the first place.
Yeah, hello.
Good evening, Miss Stewart. How you doing? Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, but I hear an echo. Echo on the phone?
Yes, ma'am. There seems to be a little bit of an echo.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if we can fix it. How does that sound? Is it a little bit better?
Yes, it sounds great.
Okay. So, you got your judgment. You have the copyrights to the Matrix and Terminator. How do you feel?
How do you think I feel? I feel great, don't you?
I mean, I would feel like $1 million if it happened to me. I mean, I would be so happy. I would just be shedding tears of joy that finally, you know, my voice has been heard. I no longer look like a crazy person just making up things. Now, over 60 million people know the truth.
Well, let me tell you something. I never looked like a crazy person making up anything, because I didn't think anybody going to U.S. film school and getting a degree.
Right. Now,
and a double major in law and psychology could look or sound crazy, and anybody who's articulate in law and who's a paralegal would not win $150 million without an attorney.
All right.
And a lot of people should know that the master illusionists, Warner Brothers and them, that's what they do. They create illusions for people who don't want to see the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So how does the royalty income work? Is it now every time they play those movies, whatnot, you're the one who gets paid?
Let's put it this way. Did you ever see Django Unchained?
I haven't watched that movie.
Well, in Django Unchained, there was a sheriff who, before he became a sheriff for 2 years, was a bank robber. He was out killing and stealing and robbing. And it didn't matter that he had the facade that he was a sheriff for 2 years and people thought he was somebody good. There was a bounty on his head, and when the guy came in, he shot him down like a dog and killed him. And it didn't matter that he was a sheriff, you know, for 2 years with a facade that everybody thought he was great or good. Once a thief, always a thief, and it doesn't matter, they still robbing and counterfeiting. And when it catches up with them, they'll get exactly what people do when they steal and counterfeit. Because the issue is a moral issue, isn't it? It's not about money, because a lot of people have gotten gagged and you don't even know that there was any theft going on.
All right. Well, I mean,
because people took the money and they didn't make a difference.
All right. Well.
They didn't take a stand.
All right. So,
it's not about the royalty checks at the end of the day. It's about the difference you make.
Okay.
Your principles to stand up for.
So now going forward, how do you plan on making a difference?
I just made a huge difference, and I guess you missed that some kind of way. Me setting a precedent, me winning a case, and showing others that they don't have to let people steal their intellectual properties or steal any of their property is a difference, and it goes on. And with the money, some of the money, I will open up, you know, facilities where people can get legal help that can ordinarily get legal help or have any money to protect them, and lawyers that do pro bono work to come in and help so we can make changes. Don't you think changes need to be made in Hollywood?
Yes, ma'am. I surely do. I hope that you can spearhead the start of making changes.
I have spearheaded the start by winning the judgment and by fighting them instead of taking the gag and taking the money. I mean, you don't understand how Hollywood operates. Hollywood, when they steal your stuff, and remember this, because you never know, they might steal something from you. The first thing they're going to do is gag you, try to gag you. And either you will take the money and go and be quiet and won't say nothing, because if you speak about it, they'll take it back. Or you fight them and keep your property and make history. And everybody will read about you and they'll remember your name. Because you stood for something.
Right.
Everybody that stands for something, their names are remembered, like Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. The list is endless. But
okay.
There's a lot of people that didn't stand for anything and nobody remembers them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now now that you own the copyrights, you in any discussions on making any new Terminator or Matrix movies or doing anything going forward with the property?
What do you think? What do you think? If they're billion-dollar franchises and everybody loves them around the globe, globally loves, in every race, color, you know, nationalities, people love Matrix and Terminator. What do you think? Do you not think that people want more of that? You can Google me and see that there's over 60 million people following me. Would you not think that people would want more Terminator, more Matrix? They loved it.
Yes,
of course there are people talking about it. Of course. That's without a doubt. Because even the Hollywood studios need franchises right now. They don't appear to have any more franchises. I guess you didn't notice. There was no more Avatars because Avatar was stolen. There's no more Harry Potter. That's shut down. So they don't even have any more. And The Hobbit didn't make any money this year like it usually does. So something like a black exploitation movie that was stolen from, I'm sure, the artist Fred Williamson, the actor, that Django Unchained is nothing but Nigger Charlie, the old black exploitation movie from the 70s.
Yeah. Speak on it.
I don't even know how it won an original screenplay when it's nothing but a derivative of an old remake of a movie from the 70s.
right. So
you guys didn't even know that, did you?
I've seen a blaxploitation movie or two.
Yeah, but did you know that where Django came from?
Well, I personally didn't go see Django. I didn't really want to see it, so I wouldn't have known either way. So
that is a preference, you know, not seeing a movie is seeing a movie. It's a preference. I understand that. But I was just speaking, being educated about things. It wasn't about, you know, you going there for entertainment or because they were calling the N-word, calling nigger everywhere. It's just good to know where things come from and that white people are still doing the same thing they've been doing and that we black people are not ignorant or crazy or whatever they like to portray in the media and all the other people jump on the bandwagon and instead of being more investigative and knowing your black roots or knowing who you are, because Matrix and Terminator are black. And if you knew more about black history, you would know that. But a lot of people don't know their history, and, of course, they take whatever somebody white tells them. And so that's where the ignorance comes in. Ignorance is not a bad word. It's just simply ignoring facts you should already know. And
well,
it's been a legal mandate, a federal mandate, that black history now become a part of every school, not just black but white schools also. But the white schools are not obeying the law. The black schools are teaching black history. And by the way, the last day of Black History Month here, February here. So this is an appropriate subject that we're talking about tonight.
Yes, ma'am. It surely is. So, in speaking of the history here, and in our conversation, our pre-conversation earlier, you were talking about people against you. Why would you think people would be against you, the rightful creator of the property?
I don't even speak like that. So I never said anybody was against me. So I don't even know what you're speaking about.
What I'm talking about is, you know how public opinion, like you was talking about, there's two kinds of people, the people who go away and the people who fight against Hollywood, money be damned.
Well, it's not about fighting against Hollywood, sweetheart. It's people who stand up for their rights. It's rights anywhere, whether someone is stealing your car, your intellectual property, your wife, your home, whatever. It's standing up for what belongs to you, principles, that's all. And there are nobody against you. But if someone takes something, then you should stand and take it back. I never said anyone was against me, but I do say there are people who do steal intellectual property in Hollywood. Not all of Hollywood are thieves. It's just simply good and bad mixed in every organization. There are good judges, bad judges. Good lawyers, bad lawyers. Good cops, bad cops. There are no bad organizations. It's just simply good and bad coexisting.
All right. Are we talking in the near future? Would you be making a deal to put out any new movies? Because as fans of the work, we would definitely love to see it.
Well, let me put it like this. Let me just educate you. Matrix and Terminator are franchises. They're billion-dollar franchises. Individual people don't put out franchises. Productions and studios do. They adapt the work to the screen because you yourself or I myself can make a $20 million movie, a $30 million, maybe that might be possible, where we go in and do that ourselves. But when it goes to $50 million on up, those they need care. You know what I'm talking about? Individuals don't do those type of things.
Well, what I was speaking on, ma'am, was, were you working with any studios?
I'm not. I wouldn't work with a studio. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Try to give you some clarity on it. You, now, when people like production companies and studios, they take options out of the work to do to adapt it to the screen. That's how it all works. You don't work with studios. You don't produce your own movies. It, you know, unless you're doing a low budget movie, and there's a lot of people do low budget movies that go to DVD. But you don't. You don't. You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Okay, so I see you have the books out. So I know you're talking their franchises, and you know what I think it clarified my question. We were wondering if you planned on launching or doing a relaunch of the franchises.
Nobody relaunches anything. When somebody's adapted your work to the screen, you're saying you stole my work. And if you try to do something else, then you're saying that nobody stole your work. So nobody relaunches anything. If someone has already adapted your work to the screen, you just continue creating more work and, of course, selling it. And are you going to see any more of my work on the screen? Yes. You're definitely going to see more of my work on the screen. And how do you know? Because you yourself liked it. And there's a lot of people like it. And when people like stuff, they want more. It's what you call a demand. There is a great demand for my work. And, yes, you're going to see more of it. And am I speaking to others about it? Yes, I am. But that's all confidential, so you have to wait and find it in the news that you people love so much.
I don't love the news as much as it's put out there. I'm not one that's big on network news per se. I'd rather go to the source myself.
Well, there's nothing wrong with some news as long as it's carrying truth. But when it starts sabotaging and defaming others, then it's not really great news.
It's
not news at all.
Well, that's why I'm not a big fan of the news, Ms. Stewart, because that is basically what the news is all about nowadays. Damaging and defaming others.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If you don't like stuff like that, then you can make changes like me. You can make changes because you can put your own news out, just like you're doing right now with your interviews and the radio show here tonight. You can also do that with print, you know, put out your own papers,
right,
magazines, and other stuff so people can see the truth, because everybody lead by examples. If you don't like something, then change it. And if you want to hear truth, then speak it.
No,
that's how it all comes about.
That's why I follow your lead, and I'm doing what I do, man. So if people wanted to find out about what Sophia Stewart is doing, where would they catch you?
It's real simple. I have two websites, two words, matrixterminator.com is my premier website, matrixterminator.com, and my other website is truthaboutmatrix.com, truthaboutmatrix.com, and it's really simple. You can Google Sophia Stewart, and my truthaboutmatrix.com will come up website, and you can put me in the Yahoo search engine, Sophia Stewart, and my matrixterminator.com. Websites will come up. I hope people will buy my books, read them, become educated. I know you have the movies, Matrix and Terminator, in your home. If you look at the Terminator and three Terminators and the three Matrix in chronological order, you'll see that Sarah Connor is Neo's mother. And Neo is just an anagram, a sneaky way of calling him the One, O-N-E-N-E-O, one and the same, Neo. John Connor's J JC, Jesus Christ, grows up to be Neo and in the Matrix. And it's time travel, past, present, future time travel. So you're seeing the whole story chronologically as it unfolds. The mother who has the baby, Matrix is Latin for womb, coming out of the womb. The mother has the baby that's going to destroy the machines and the future. And at 30 years of age, John Connor's Neo goes through cleansing through the pod. His human side dies. His spiritual side is born. The energy of the eye comes inside of him, and now he's ready to take on the machines. But he has to go through training with Morpheus. And after that, he's taken to the Oracle, who makes the prophecy.
Yeah.
Man comes from the male or the feminine energy. I thought it would be more plausible for a female oracle to prophesize his coming. So in the first coming of Christ, it was a male, John the Baptist. Second coming should be female. Female, feminine energy is the energy of creativity, not the male energy.
Okay. All right. Well, tell the people one more time where they can catch you.
They can go to MatrixTerminator.com or TruthAboutMatrix.com and read The Third Eye and Matrix 4 book, Matrix 4 Evolution. It will eclipse Matrix 1. I made 2 and 3 a bad dream, so Trinity and Neo never died. And Matrix 4 carry on the Matrix with even greater special effects and graphics that have never been before ever seen on any movie screen.
All right, well.
So the adventure continues.
All right. Well, I know me and 100 and all the other fans of the franchises look forward to you putting your real spin on it and not someone stealing your work this time. We look forward to seeing what you come up with next going forward.
Well, what you saw in The Matrix and Terminator is what I came up with. If you know The Third Eye, you would know that. And I wouldn't put a spin on anything because putting a spin on something is changing something. And I wouldn't change my own work. So, therefore, I wouldn't have to put a spin on anything. That's why I said that people need to be educated. And the only way you're going to be educated is if you read. You understand when you see The Hunger Game, you read that book and you go to the movie that has been adapted. Or when you read J.R.R. Tolkien's book, Lords of the Ring, it's been adapted to the screen. And, or Harry Potter, you read that book and you see it's been adapted to the screen. Writers don't put spin on anything. Studios buy their work and adapt it to the screen, and they take different parts of the book or different characters out of the book or special effects and graphics and adapt it to the screen the way they want. No writers have creativity. The studios won't allow that. When they buy or steal your work, they adapt it the way they want. They put their own spin on it. That's what they do, not the writers. People need to understand what a writer does. When they write their work, some of them do not even sell their work to Hollywood because they don't like the way they adapt their work to the screen.
Well,
but none of them have any say-so. John Grisham didn't have any spin or say-so when they adapted Pelican Brief to the screen or The Firm. This is why I'm on here to clarify that. So people will understand, when people steal your work or they buy it, they adapt it to the screen.
Right.
The way they want to adapt.
Well, I definitely look forward to once again not stolen work, but your work out there. And I want to thank you for coming on the show, ma'am. And
There's no difference. In my work is stolen work. It's just because it's stolen doesn't change the work. It just changes the route that it comes to the screen.
Well, thank you for coming on and educating us. I really appreciate how you educated us tonight. You taught us a lot, so thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome, 100.
Okay, well, enjoy your evening.
All right, y'all. That was Miss Sophia Stewart, writer and creator of The Matrix and Terminator. Fiery woman. She's got a lot to say. And as she was saying, you need to be educated and watch out for all you future writers and creators coming up.
The movie people need to watch out and not steal people's work, because you got people out there like Miss Sophia. Miss Sophia don't play.
Yeah.
So
she's coming for you. You take her stuff, she's coming to get it back.
She's coming for you. Don't even try it.
Yeah. So. Oh, my goodness. Yes. That.
Yes, sir.
She is not playing. You best believe that. And on that note, we going to go on break. Appropriately, this is Black Star. What's beef?
So I got a little riddle for you. What happens when you take two of Brooklyn's finest MCs and put them together in a group? Well, then you have my next guest, make some noise, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Black Star.
This is a real nigga PSA from the Black Star Embassy,
yes,
Brooklyn, entitled What is Beef?
Yeah, I was sold to a sick European by a rich African battling. Middle passages, I can't go back again. Battling years of denying history, lies with mysteries, wives with misty eyes, watching they niggas be
beefing.
Wilderness in North America, ran by the river, only stopping to pray. Shape of predators, terrorists with etiquette, who vote and kill their president. Their capacity for evil so evident and prevalent. Ain't no hesitation to evolve, a nation dissolve. Or we sit back, waiting to evolve. Those who are trading their freedom for their protection deserve neither a name, tradition, religion. You learn Jesus. The earth, the other Jesus, inherit the earth. Just say me, the way you speak. Try to walk with chapel to feet. Fast forward to 2003. Niggas beat the psychology and children are slaves. Hell yeah. It's always your own people, sometimes it's your own people. Hell yeah. It's always your own people, sometimes it's your own people. Y'all, beef is not what Jay said to Nas. Come on, beef is well working, niggas can't find jobs. City trying to find niggas to rob. Trying to find bigger guns so they can finish the job. Yeah, sleep is when the crack kids can't find malls, cause they in a pine box, a lot behind bars. Yeah, sleep makes the summer jam for hot 97. Beef is the cocaine and AIDS epidemic. Don't come with a radio edit. Beef is when the judge is calling you defendant. Beef, it come with a law jail sentence. Handed down to you in a few short minutes. Yeah, beef is when your girl come through for a visit. Talking about I'm pregnant, boss some of a nigga. Beef is high blood pressure and bad credit. Need a loan for your homie, too broke to get it. And all your little kids is doing is getting bigger. You're trying not to raise them around these wild niggas. Beef is when a gold digger got to see in a manicure hand out like pain, nigga. Oh, I'm telling your wife, we're starting up some foul rumor that'll ruin your life. Because when a gangster ain't doing it right, and other gangsters have decided what to do with his life. Because not what these famous niggas do on the mic. Beef is what George Bush was doing in the fight.
That's right.
Beef is not what Josh said to 50. Beef is well, the herb not being here with me, but the soldier ends his life with his own gun. Beef is trying to figure out what to tell his son. Beef is oil prices and geopolitics. Beef is Iraq, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip. Some beef is big and some beef is small, but what y'all call beef is not beef at all. Beef is real life happening every day, and it's willing and ensuring that you pay the case late. This has been a Black Star PSA from Mos Def, Pretty Flacco, Black Dante, and the Black Star Embassy.
Black
Star to the K.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I'm Miss 100%, Queen of the Little People, and that was Black Star, West Beef. And y'all know what time it is.
What time is it?
It's Dumbass of the Week.
Oh, excuse me. Anyway.
I feel so tickled by the whole, anyway.
Yeah, I'm tickled too. Speaking of being tickled, Michael Beasley, for those of you who don't know who Michael Beasley is, he's an NBA player, former number two pick in the draft, I believe in 2009, played for the Miami Heat, got traded to Minnesota, and then he got signed to and is currently playing for the Phoenix Suns. Michael Beasley is a multi-million dollar basketball player, but he's kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. A case in point, he sold his home in Minnesota. And, he didn't sell it. He moved from Minnesota to Phoenix. And he had some stuff in his home. Like, he had some crazy stuff like giant glass grapes, floral headboards. I don't even know what that is.
What the heck is a floral headboard? So it's just a it's a headboard that's made out of all flowers?
Yeah.
Now, see, that stuff like the glass grapes, that sounds like some stuff that would be in an older person's house. Because I remember my grandmother used to have glass grapes.
Yeah.
So maybe it belonged to an older family member. And you know how you just inherit stuff over the years? You're like, how the heck did I get this? You know, maybe that's what it was.
Well, see, I ain't even talking about the bunny-shaped salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's old people stuff.
Yeah, well, anyway, he came out and he gave his statement. A lot of that stuff wasn't mine, like purses and earrings and stuff. And he says, that kind of messed up my street cred. I'm a gangster on the street.
Oh, he a gangster?
He's a gangster, you know, because gangsters on the street are multimillionaires and play ball.
He a gangster on the street. He's a millionaire who got earrings, purses, and glass grapes in his house.
Don't forget the floral headboard.
And the floral headboard.
Yeah.
Don't hit it too hard today. Hit it so. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
I messed myself up.
Yeah, you don't want to knock all the flowers off, right?
Save the flowers for the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that is our dumb ass of the week. And speaking of dumb asses, you know, we like to talk about cultural stuff. And we talk about got a culture of celebrity, and people feel like they own people nowadays. It's more and more you see these jealous cases. I mean, it used to be back in the days it was songs. You know, I always make that joke, Temptations. I know you want to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to let you go. It seems people is taking that license and making what was just a song talking about love into reality. I know you won't leave me, but I refuse to let you go. I mean, famously, we're talking about the Pistorius case over in South Africa. And on the lesser note, we see cases like this all the time where somebody doesn't want to be with somebody, and instead of just saying, hey, well, break my heart, and you play some sad songs, and you go out and you find somebody else to date.
You cry for a little while, but you know, you get it in with somebody else to try to, you know, lessen the pain a little bit. But, you know, you might revert back every now and then and think of that person. But you have the common sense that God gives a billy goat to say that if this person don't want me, I need to leave this person alone and let them live their life and live my life. But unfortunately, that's not happening nowadays. Like, case in point, where I live here in my hometown in Ohio, there was a guy who actually went to prison when he was 19 years old. He was already crazy to begin with because he shot his best friend, his roommate, in the head twice over some type of food or something when they were in college. Or, they were just in college and they got into an argument. He shot him in the head twice and spent all these years in prison, just got out of prison at the age of 39. And where did he go? He went straight to the old girlfriend's house. I don't know how he found out where she lived. It's just, I don't know. I mean, with, you know, all this media out here, you know, cell phones and Google and all of that stuff, it's probably easy to find somebody.
Oh, yeah, well, real easy. You just do a Google name search, and normally their address comes up if they have a home phone, because all home phones are listed in the phone book.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else to watch out for, too, is, you know, cell phones, you can charge to your cell phone bill. If you doing a lookup for somebody and you know their name, you can pay, you can use your cell phone bill, and you can get a whole list of names, addresses, and telephone numbers of people, and you can pretty much find the person you're looking for. So it's literally that easy.
But that's what we're talking about. So him going, finding her, and doing what he does.
Yeah, well, he found her. And something happened when he went to the door and she let him know, it's been over, I don't want you. And apparently he knew that she didn't want him because he brought a gun to the door with him. And when she said, I don't want you, he, you know, strong-armed himself into the house and tried to shoot her. But her daughter didn't want her mama to get shot and jumped in front of the gun and he shot the girl. He shot the 13-year-old little girl, and which happens to be a friend of my nephew's, my son. And they're having her funeral Monday.
Well,
but they went to the same school. But it's been, this community has been hell for the last 2 weeks.
Well, I think that the tragedy of the situation is, once again, people can't, I mean, obviously a little girl is dead, and she's dead because somebody can't take rejection.
But not only that, because he's trying to say, well, I tried to shoot the mother, but the daughter jumped in front of the gun. Then why did you have to shoot the cousin? Because he shot the 13-year-old cousin as well.
Well,
and she's in critical condition, still fighting for her life.
Well, okay. I would listen to nothing that he has to say.
Oh, no, they gave him TV time.
Well,
they actually put him on television as they were arresting him and allowed him to make one last plea for her love.
Yeah,
to say, yes, I love you so much. I just wanted to be with you, all these other things. And
yeah, I don't even want to talk about it no more.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah, that's beyond disgusting. And I mean, and this is real true life. Now, I watch a little TV every now and again. So I happened to catch Law and Order last night, which was a parody of Chris Brown and Rihanna. So.
Yeah.
It ends up where something happens. He beats the snot out of her for questioning whether or not he was talking to some other female. She forgives him. He comes back into her life, kills the guy who found her, and she doesn't tell. A whole club full of people allows him to get away with murdering someone. and then he ends up getting off. They go to the island where he murders her over an argument over some girl texting me and whatnot. And I'm like, one, Chris Brown, I mean, the days where we're fearing R&B singers, it's like, yeah, man, that Chris Brown, that Trey Song, man, I wouldn't be walking on the same side of the street as them. I don't think that's ever coming out anybody's mouth.
Right.
Yeah, T-Pain is gangster.
I mean, you know, people are monsters. Like, you know what? It's like wolves in sheep's clothing. Like, yeah, I portrayed this image that, and see, that's what I'm saying. All these so-called, like the one guy said, I'm a gangster on the street. A person that's really mean, nasty, and ugly and violent is not going to show you that side of him until he's really ready for it to come out. And, yeah, you're thinking that these people walking around with their pants hanging to their knees are hard, but it's the silent ones, those ones that seem so timid or the ones that seem like they're so controlled and have it all together. Those are the ones that really got some problems, and they will knock the fool out of you.
Yeah, well, see, as far as knocking the fool out of you, I'm like, I watch it. It's so fake.
Yeah.
And the situations are so fake. I'm like, man, come on, this is some straight garbage.
Yeah.
And then I'm like thinking, well, damn, how come they didn't do the Mel Gibson one? I mean, yeah. Mel Gibson had the greatest meltdown on female ever. I mean, his stuff is all on the net. I ain't giving you nothing, bitch. I will kill you, and you going to fire. I mean, he's going off.
Right.
I mean, he goes off on her. He calls her every name under the sun.
I mean, not just Mel Gibson, but think of Scott Peterson, like you said, with his name, Tink, the guy with the metal legs.
No,
I mean, there's so many of them that can name that's killing their wives and girlfriends.
What's the guy who five wives have disappeared?
That was Scott Peterson.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how come we didn't have that SVU?
Right, exactly.
I mean, and see, but the point is, yeah, that was horrible that they did that. But the fact that you got the image that, oh yeah, well, Chris Brown, the black guy is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you don't show a representative of Scott Peterson.
And it makes me so angry because it's like, okay, yeah, Chris Brown did it. Everybody know he did it. He know he did it. God, Brianna, whoever. Everybody knows he did it. He's guilty as hell. All right. But what about, like I said, the obvious cases, like the guy who, the metal leg guy who has killed the girlfriend, but you see white people rallying around him. They don't believe that he... And there's no other evidence that points to anybody else other than this guy. But you have people all over Facebook, yeah, because he has no legs, let's find sympathy for him. Hell no, he's a murderer.
Well, I looked at it like this. I'm like, if you want to show them stories, fine. But if you're going to show them stories, show them all.
Yes.
Show everyone. It's a full representation
of
what it is.
Yeah.
Just don't single anyone out. And on that note, I want to thank Miss Sophia Stewart, the writer, creator of The Matrix and Terminator, for coming on the show. And as y'all know, I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%, Queen of the Little People. I am Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama episode. And y'all know what it is. Two fingers. We out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama,
smooth.